White Rocket Entertainment.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, a special Florida Week edition. I'm Van Allen Plexico and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, this was your idea. So I'm going to throw it over to you to start us out. But what we're doing here, and this is a special little brief episode we're doing on, I guess, what, Sunday night, the night after we played Mississippi State. And we'll be doing our regular show about Mississippi State Monday night for people to listen to early Tuesday and on the rest of the week. But you had the idea that we would do a little special episode, first for the patrons, and then we'll put it out maybe on Thursday for everybody else, just kind of looking back at our thoughts on the Auburn-Florida rivalry and some particular games that stand out for us and what the series kind of means to us. So go ahead and get us started with where you want to kind of go first with it. I think it's a great idea, and I think people are going to enjoy it, but go ahead and kick us off what we're going to do.
Sure. So this was somewhat a preemptive move by me because I feel like we're going to do this anyway.
Yeah.
So it's better if we do it in a separate episode than add it into our regular podcast tomorrow night, which ended up being 2.5 hours or something. So
yeah, probably a good idea.
Probably better for all involved. So the reason I wanted to do this is because we don't get to play Florida very much. And I think a lot of younger Auburn fans do not have the perspective our understanding about what Florida-Auburn series means to us, how important it is, how they're a real rival. Unlike, I consider Florida a real rival of Auburn much more than some of the teams that are in the West right now.
Absolutely.
And that it's an important historical series and that it means something, and we're excited to be playing them again, excited to be going down there and playing them. And so that's what I wanted to talk about, is just kind of the little bit of the history and then kind of walk through some of the memorable games that Auburn and Florida have played over the years.
Yeah. Well, how far back should we go? I guess before we do that, though, I would agree. I think that the Auburn-Florida rivalry is probably, for me, our third biggest rivalry after Alabama and Georgia. Where do you put them?
I think that's good. I mean, I think a lot of people now would I think I'd probably say that. I don't think I would put LSU ahead of them.
No.
I don't think I'd ever put Mississippi State ahead of them. Not ever Arkansas or Ole Miss. So, no, that's I really believe that. Yes,
I think that we've probably played Mississippi State more, but they just have never seemed like. And to be fair to Mississippi State, they've played us a lot better the last decade or two. You know, I mean, they used to be an instant win pretty much when we were any good at all, and it's been a pretty 500, you know, pretty 50-50 series for a while now, and that's a credit to them. I've always said that Mississippi State is the barometer of our program. In the years that things are going wrong, we lose to Mississippi State. In the years that things aren't going wrong, we beat them. But Florida, even though we haven't played them as much recently, and in fact, I was just pointing out today that the last time we went to Gainesville to play Florida, Wes Byram, our kicker, was a freshman. But we played them once since then in Auburn. But that Florida game was such a big, important, critically important game, particularly before the conference divided, because, you know, we're so programmed now to think of, oh, is it a West team or is it an East team? You know, and the West ones matter more to us to beat. But up until, you know, the division of the conference, Florida was every bit as important as any other game we played in terms of how the conference came out. It did. There was no East and West, and so Florida was the same as Georgia or Alabama, you know, or LSU or whoever else. And so,
well, yeah. And then even when the conference split the first time, we were able to keep two permanent opponents from the East.
And we kept Florida, yeah.
And we kept Georgia and Florida. So our permanent opponents from the East, and that was a – says something about how Auburn felt about this rivalry in Florida, too, that we kept that permanent rivalry. And when it we had to go down to one, that's when we left them and only kept Georgia. But it was a hard decision.
Yeah. From 1993 through 2002, we still played Florida every year, even though they were not our main Eastern rival.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so Auburn people understand the volume of history we're talking about here. From 1945 to 2002, we played Florida every single year.
Right.
Every one of those seasons we played Florida. And so, you know, having to give them up was tough as a rival. And then now to be in this position where we play them so infrequently is sad. I mean, I think a lot of people in college football, you hear whining and fussing about Texas and Texas A&M ought to play each other, that kind of stuff. Auburn and Florida ought to be playing each other.
And it's been a very even rivalry, too. I mean, it's like either it goes back and forth every year, or each team would win like 3, 4, 5 in a row. But it always balanced back out. And Auburn has a slight lead, but that's just because we've had like one more streak than they have. You know, like we won like the first 6, and then we won a streak under Shug in the late 50s, and it went back and forth for a while. We won a streak under Shug in the late 60s, early 70s when Auburn was really good. Then they won a little streak. Then it went back and forth every year. Then in the mid-80s, they won 3, and then we won 3, and then they won 3, and then we won 2. And then they had their one little run there under Spurrier from 95 through 2000, and then since then, we've more dominated the series. So it's been a very, unlike Mississippi State or some of these, it's been a very competitive, very even series that Auburn actually holds a slight lead in, even with the Spurrier years. And so why wouldn't we want to keep playing that series, you know?
That's right. And I can't find the stat right here, but somebody will find it this week, I'm sure. Like, we've played them like 85 times, and out of that, like 50 something times, it's been a one score game.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah, we lead the series 43-38-2. And I mean, it's had such, I mean, it's, you know, Steve Spurrier had a good line about it, you know, years ago that back in the 90s, he said, it seems like every time Florida, he says, like, every time we beat Auburn, we beat them by like 30. And every time they beat us, it's on like a last second field goal. But that's true. He was right. I don't argue. I don't dispute it, because when we beat Florida, I'm trying to figure out how far back, but like, if you look at the ones that certainly I and probably you remember. Going back to like 81, we beat them 14-12. The next year, they kicked a field goal at the end, beat us 19-17. You know, the next one, the bow game in 83 was 28-21, one touchdown. And then 85, 14-10, and then 18-17 on that horrible comeback game in 1986 where Kerwin Bell scored the 2-point conversion.
All right, let's just get into it then and talk about somebody's game.
Yeah, all right. So how far back you want to go to talk about some of the games?
Let's start there with Kerwin Bell, a name that I still get angry at when I hear it.
1986, you are looking live at Florida Field. And Kerwin Bell, later the quarterback of the Orlando Thunder in the World League.
Great, great mustache, Kerwin Bell.
Oh, Lord. Were we not up 17-0 in this game?
We were, and he was the backup quarterback. We knocked the starting quarterback out of the game, up 17-0, and he came back in and rallied them, and they came back, and they kicked a field goal by
McGinty, our former kicker that we ran off after he missed the Iron Bowl winning kick in 84. Ah!
No, this is important, Auburn people. This was a guy on Auburn's roster. He missed a kick that would have beaten Alabama. He basically, you know, didn't feel comfortable on campus after that, left and transferred to Florida, signed onto their team, and then kicked the field goal to beat us.
Yeah, the thing of it was, the field goal he missed that would have beaten Alabama was like 20 yards. And the field goal he made that basically gave them the winning points in the 86 game for Florida was like 53 yards.
Yes.
So it's just, I mean, golly. It's just weird stuff like that year after year. And I've always said, you know, Kerwin Bell got hurt in that game and he was limping around, could barely walk. And he scored the two-point conversion to go up 18-17 and beat us on a quarterback run. I always say he backed his walker into the end zone to beat us 18-17. And so that was the year we just said, oh, we have got to beat Florida. They had beaten us 3 years in a row at that point, including, remember, John, the year before was the one where all the NFL players were on the field.
Yes, the 1985 game was, I can't remember the stat, but it's one of the games in the 1980s, 1990s that had the single most volume of future NFL players on the field at one time. The 85 Florida team had, you know, Wilbur Marshall and a whole bunch of other future
NFL Anderson players. And John L. Williams. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, there were at least 45 future NFL players on the two teams in that day.
And our entire defense ended up in NFL from those years. Just unbelievable.
And our offensive line and our tight ends and stuff. So it was you know, and Bo Jackson. And so it was a very, very talented rosters. And they held Bo down. And a lot of people thought they ruined his Heisman chances that day. But he came back. So I want to leap ahead to one of the darker days for Auburn in this series, which was Spurrier's arrival in 1990, when they absolutely destroyed Auburn.
I was in the swamp that day, that night. It was a night game. I rode down with some of our friends from Auburn, some of our mutual friends, and I watched us. They scored. They had like Shane Matthews, who had done nothing the year before with Gary Darnell as the interim coach. And they scored, we scored, it was 7-7, and then they scored 41 unanswered points.
Yeah.
And we were number 4 in the country that night.
And I think it was a night game on ESPN.
Yeah.
And I was visiting my girlfriend, future wife's family, and we went over to one of their friends' houses who had cable and had ESPN and watched the game. And it was just a bloodletting. Auburn had a very 1980s defense and team, and this was a very 1990s kind of spread passing attack.
And we fun and gun.
Slow and unprepared.
Yep, yep. Y'all met the fun and gun that night. Yep, yep. But what I got to mention before that, though, the 87 game was 29-6 Auburn. We were so desperate to beat them after the Kerwin Bell game that we beat them 3 years in a row. The 87 game, 29-6, was the nightmare in Jordan-Hare where it was on Halloween night on ESPN. The irresistible force, Emmitt Smith, versus the immovable object, Andre Bruce. We beat them 29-6. I've never yelled louder at a football game than I yelled that night at Florida's quarterback, which may have still been Kerwin Bell. I can't remember.
We had more fun at that. You know, a Halloween night game in Auburn at night against Florida, and it was as much fun as any home game I remember.
And we held Emmitt 3 years under 100 yards, beat him all 3 years. 88 was the great defensive team, went down on Gator. We were their homecoming opponent that day, and we beat them 16-0. And then the third one of that streak in 89, they led the whole game. Remember, we fumbled on like our goal line.
Mm-hmm.
Emmitt punched it in and led 7-3 the whole game. That was a defensive struggle. Neither team could get anything going on offense. And on the final drive of Auburn, Reggie Slack hit Shane Wasdin in the back of the end zone for the touchdown to win 10-7.
Yes.
And the next year was the 48-7 butt whooping that you were just talking about. And 91 and 92, we were not good, and Florida won both games handily with Spurrier. But then comes Terry Bowden, and we got to talk briefly about 93 and 94. I think of these games as kind of a package deal. You know what I mean?
Yes, very much a package deal.
Very similar scores, very similar events. It's almost like a rerun. So what do you remember of 93 and 94 you want to talk about?
Well, again, Florida was this, you know, force that had, again, 90, 91, 92, they had just kind of rolled over us. They were in the top five. They had a great offense. And we had a new coach. You know, it was Terry Bowden. And we were on probation. The game was not on TV.
Not on TV, right.
It was, you know, so in Auburn, not on TV, and number 4 Florida comes to town. And, you know, we had a good roster. We had a good team. But they were like 30-point favorites, 25. Oh,
unbelievable, yeah. Way high.
And Auburn won the game. It was amazing. It was a shootout back and forth. Undramatic, big plays, pass interceptions, run back a long way, long passes. It was a dramatic game.
I believe the most dramatic point, they got up quick, 10 to nothing, and we were thinking, oh, here we go again. And they drove with Werfel, Danny Werfel, in his freshman year. They drove all the way down to our goal line and were about to score to make it 17 to nothing, and that would have been it. There's no coming back on Florida with Spurrier in the early 90s if you're down 17 to nothing. And Werfel threw the ball in the end zone, and one of our defensive backs, I forget who now, picked it off and went 100 yards back the other way. And instead of 17 to nothing, it's 10 to 7. And that just flipped the switch. The stadium went crazy. Our players went crazy. And from then on, you know, Frank Sanders had a big game. Stan White had a big game. Bostic had a big game. And back and forth it went. And then we ended up kicking a field goal on the close to the end of the game to win 38-35.
And so then the next year we go down to Gainesville, and the story is, well, Auburn hasn't lost.
We're 17-0 the last 2 years at this point.
But nobody thinks we're going to beat them again.
No, it was a fluke.
Everybody was like, if we be at home last year, you're going to get – Auburn's going to get what's coming to them. And again, we had won 17 games in a row, and I think Florida was still a 20-point favorite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're 17-0 over the last 2 years. And they were a 17 or 18 point favorite in the Swamp. And there was a big, I was at this game too. There's a big banner on the hanging from the Swamp that said, "The streak stops here." And it was on ABC, Brent Musburger, all that. And there was something else about it I was going to mention. But everybody thought there was just no way. It's like this. It's like if in 2014, after the kick six, we went to Tuscaloosa and did the same thing basically to him again. That's how unlikely it seemed that we would win in Florida in 94. And it was a very similar game. I mean, it didn't end on a field goal, ended on a pass, but
it was a very similar game in terms of it was a dramatic, big play, high scoring game, you know, two teams going back and forth kind of trading punches, and Auburn made the big play at the end, the pass in the end zone to Sanders.
Yeah. That was from who?
Nix.
Patrick Nix. That's right. So that was 25 years ago sometime here in the next few days. Let me see. That was October 15th. So, yeah, it's amazing how close the dates are, 25 years apart, isn't it?
That's right.
That a Nix is leading Auburn at quarterback into Florida Field 25 years apart within just a matter of days of each other. That's crazy. And, yeah, Florida was number four in 93 we beat them. They were number one when we beat them that year. And so it starts this whole tradition of Auburn beating Florida when they're, like, in the top five, and that would not be the last time by a long ways of us doing that. Now, they came back and they got us – 7 in a row, I believe, over 6 mm-hmm. years. 6 years in a row plus an SEC championship game at the end. And the only thing I really want to mention, we weren't great during those years. Obviously, that's the later Bowden, early Tuberville years from 95 through 2000. But the thing I want to mention about those years is that in 95, we were competitive with them. The difference, I think, in 95 was our defense didn't hold them down quite as much. They scored 49, and the reason they scored 49 was in the second quarter, I believe it was, Werfel started connecting with who's the guy that's on SEC Network now? Their big
Chris During.
During. We could not cover.
Us up.
Yeah. They scored like 4 touchdowns in the second quarter, and that was it. So they won 49-38. I mean, we scored more on them. That's the thing I always thought was funny. We scored more points on them, or as many that year as we did either year we beat them. It's just that we couldn't hold them down that year. The next year they scored 51, and it just kind of went down from there. But then we go to 2001, and that's the year that under Tuberville, we were not great, right? I mean, we went 7-5 in overall that year. We lost our bowl game to North Carolina in Atlanta. We went 7-5 that year, but that one night we put it all together and just had the antidote to everything Florida could do. This was Spurrier's last year as Florida's coach, and he lost his last game against us. That was the night that is best remembered for Damon Duval's field goal just as the rain starts falling. What do you remember of that one?
I remember that image of him kicking the field goal right as the rain starts to come down. I remember it did seem like kind of the end of they had beaten us, you know, so many years in a row.
Yeah.
And they were so good that year. Us. And we had won the West the year before. But then they kind of kicked us in the SEC championship game. So, I don't know. It felt like, Tuberville and his coaches did a really good job in that game. The team was well prepared, and it was a great home crowd that made a big difference.
I'll point out too that SEC championship game we lost to Florida was the last time we would lose an SEC championship game all the way until 2017, because we won in 2004, and we won in 2010, and we won in 2013. We were up 3-2 in wins and losses. We were one of only like two or three teams that had a winning record in SEC championship games until 2017, where I think we're currently 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
So, the 0-1 game was Duval kicks it basically sideways, and the wind just carries it back around straight because it was a long field goal, and the rain started falling. I was there. I remember the rain started falling just as it went through. And now we got to say, we've talked a little bit about the losses, and the last time Auburn lost to Florida was in Gainesville in 2002, the Zook game. There's several really interesting things about this game. This is the game we played them October 19th, and this is the game that Cadillac hurt his leg and was out for the rest of the year in like the first or second quarter. And do you remember who took over this game? We were losing at that point.
This was the Ronnie Brown is the savior game.
This is the game, his coming out party. Before this game, October 19, 2002, before this game, Ronnie Brown was barely playing and nobody really thought much of anything about him. It was the Cadillac Williams show in 2001 and 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And Brown just was a revelation in this game. He came out and just took over and took Auburn, I think, either tied or to the lead, didn't he?
Yes. I think we tied it at 23 in the fourth quarter, and then Florida won. But
we went to overtime. Yeah, we ended up going to overtime.
Brown was dominating in this game.
Yeah, they ended up going to overtime. And in the overtime, it was kind of like the 96 Georgia game where – we couldn't stop them from scoring, and they stopped us. I want to say that maybe Duval even missed a field goal. He either missed a field goal that would have won it in regulation, or he missed a field goal if, like, we got the ball first in overtime, and then they scored a touchdown.
No, they blocked it as time expired. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And they were in overtime.
That's it. So they won 30-23. So the only – in the last – the last four Florida coaches we've played, the only one of them that beat us the last time we played them was Ron Zook. We beat Spurrier the last time we played him. We beat Urban Meyer both times we played him. And we beat Muschamp the one time we played him. Ron Zook is 1-0 lifetime against Auburn.
Well, there you go.
And then I guess the last three quickly, two that are very memorable and one that everybody's already forgotten, but 2006 and 2007. Okay, so 2006, Florida was number two and goes on to win the national championship. This is the only game they lost. So what do you – I had just moved to Illinois, just gotten my job, started that fall semester here. That was right after I moved here, and I got a plane ticket and flew down to Birmingham, rented a car, and drove down to Auburn for this game. Because I had to be there. I had a feeling, you know. I had a feeling with Tuberville and everything that year. We had a great defense.
They had a great defense. And they had Chris Leak and freshman Tim Tebow. And the turning point of this game was a block punt.
Yeah.
And the freshman, the little running back, caught it and did a flip into the end zone with it.
Yeah. Well, he was a freshman in 02. He was the senior that year.
He was the senior of the year. The one who was Trey Smith, the one that was the savior against Alabama.
Yeah.
The one year, so.
Yeah, he'd been there a while at that point. This, tell me, correct me if I'm wrong. We win this game 27-17. We did not score an offensive touchdown this game.
How did we score another touchdown?
We kicked
a block punt for one.
We had a block punt, and we ran back a fumble on the last play of the game. We were up 21-17 after the block punt. But I feel like we had we kicked a couple of field goals. Maybe we had a safety or something. Maybe a punt return. I don't know. But I don't think we scored an offense. It was kind of like the LSU interception game. I don't think because I know that the punt was one of our scores, and I know that a fumble return on the last play where we did kind of like a hook and ladder thing was a – because we didn't even kick the extra point. It should have been 28. But we scored and we made it 27 because it was 21-17, and we thought we were going to end it with that, and then we got that last thing where they tried something crazy, and we picked the ball up and ran it back. But yeah, so that was crazy enough. And then we got, again, it was another one of these deals where we win a miracle game in Auburn, and we go down and do it again the next year in Florida, because the next year they were ranked number 4, and we go down there with our new freshman kicker Wes Byram. And does he ever get to do some gator chomping at him, doesn't he?
That was one of my favorite moments. And there's been a lot of great moments in the series, but one of the best is when Spurrier calls the timeout to try to ice in.
Urban Meyer. Spurrier scarred us for life. You know, that's all right.
So Urban Meyer calls timeout, and then Byron makes the kick and looks over and does the gator chomp at him as he's running off the field.
That made it twice.
Yes, he made the kick, you know, as he called the timeout and then made it again and looked over at the Florida bench to the gator chomp. But that was again, they were the defending national champs. They had Tebow and Percy Harvin and a bunch of NFL players on defense. That was a really, really good team. That was a great win for Auburn that night.
And they went on to win the national championship the next year, too. So, I mean, this was a big deal. I watched the end of that one again on YouTube this afternoon, and I had forgotten, but I love that the TV coverage, I guess it was ESPN, I can't remember. There was like a couple that they kept zooming in on in the stands when Byron was getting ready to kick this, and they were just screaming at him, you know, miss it, and waving their arms. They were just so animated. And it kept coming back to them like they were praying and pleading and waving their arms and screaming. And when he made the second one, it cuts back to them again. And the guy is just on the ground like he's dead. He's just lying over the little, you know, brick wall there with his arms hanging down. And I'm just like, oh, man. Because we know how he feels, you know. I mean, he's a Gator fan, but we've all been there. And, you know, it's when you just are so helpless. You want so bad to stop this awful thing that's about to happen. And you can't, and it happens, and you just are like, oh, and you just die, you know. And I totally understood how he felt. I had nothing but sympathy for him. But, man, that was a great win. And Byron runs along the Gator sideline and does a chomp at him. Oh, that was so great. So great, so great. Now, we played him one more time since then. This was that was the last time we played him in Florida until this coming Saturday. Do you have any recollection of the 2011 game?
No.
I remember I was at a convention maybe in Memphis, and I remember I was in the hotel bar, and there was like nobody else there, and I'm just sitting there by myself in the bar watching this game, because like all the other people in the hotel are, you know, sci-fi and books and stuff people, and they're not interested. And I remember a publisher I know that I've just published some of my books, he came walking into the bar. And he looks at me and looks at the TV and just kind of shakes his head and turns around and walks back out like I'm the only person that cares, you know. And I'm just going crazy. I'm like, oh, come on. But the thing I remember about this game is I think this is the Dyer, the Michael Dyer game.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's 2011.
Yeah.
Cam's gone.
Yeah.
We're still a good team. Things haven't, the wheels haven't fallen off yet, but we're, you know, things aren't as dynamic clearly.
Well, it's Barrett Trotter and Michael Dyer, basically.
That's it.
And somebody told me that somebody tweeted at me, and I couldn't remember this at all. They said this was the D'Angelo Benton game. Was he receiver?
Yeah, he was receiver, made some big catches in that game.
Okay. That must be the only game. I don't remember much. I vaguely remember him, but we've had so this is a story we've heard a million times, isn't it? I feel like he's a guy from Louisiana that ended up not going to LSU and came to Auburn. But how many players have we had like that? I mean, we've had so many receivers and running backs that, you know, came from Louisiana and for whatever reason fell out with LSU and ended up coming to Auburn. I mean, I feel like our big running back in 03 was that type. Was Duke Williams one of those? I mean, I just feel like we've had a bunch of these running backs and receivers that came to us from Louisiana. But anyway, yeah, so 17-6, we beat Muschamp. And that was the last time we played them. It just seems crazy that we've played them one time in 12 years.
It's wrong. I mean, we had the thing earlier this year where North Carolina and Wake Forest played a non-conference game against each other. And that's how I feel about it at this point. I would rather schedule a non-conference game against Florida than against some other, you know, pick whoever. I want to play them. I want to play them on a regular basis. This is basically what I'm advocating for. I want to break up the divisions in the SEC.
Absolutely.
Go to college or whatever.
Yes.
We can play for it every time. And while you were talking, I went and looked up the total number of times we played every other SEC team. And this to show we were talking about earlier at the very beginning of this, where you said Florida might be our third rival. Mm-hmm. A lot of fans probably think, oh, that's crazy talk. But here's the reality. We have played, Florida way more times than we have played a lot of these other schools.
We've played them a lot more than we played Alabama.
It's actually very close now.
Okay.
It
now, yeah.
It didn't close.
Right.
Because we went through there was a long period in the 30s, whatever, we didn't play Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
But it's caught up now. I think it's basically even. But we've played LSU like 51 times. We played Florida like 85 times.
Exactly. People don't understand that. Hell, John, we've probably played Georgia Tech more times than we played LSU.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
We played Georgia Tech like 30 more times than we played LSU.
Oh, yeah. I was telling you the other day, I said, we played LSU in like 81 and didn't play him again until 88, 89. And then didn't play him again until we had to in 92. We never used to play LSU or Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I mean, the way that the conference is divided, and then you add Arkansas that we have to play every year. We'd only played them one time in that Liberty Bowl in 84. Honestly, to me, being put in the SEC West, to me, felt like we left the SEC and joined some other conference. To me, it felt like it must feel for Missouri now not being in the Big 12, and being in the SEC. Or it must be how it feels for Arkansas to not be in the Southwestern anymore and be in the SEC. You're like, except we're in the same conference. It just doesn't feel like it because we don't play Tennessee, we don't play Florida, and we quit playing Georgia Tech, which was either though they did used to be in the SEC, and we still played them every year even when they weren't. It's fine that we have a nice series with LSU, and that's all well and good, and it's given us some wacky, crazy games, and that's fine. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't still be able to play the teams that we really do have a history with that we've just kind of talked about just the most recent ones of.
And then again, as we talked through, you can see in those examples, it's a great series, a lot of dramatic games, fun, exciting games and fun endings. And I look forward to this one. And we'll have plenty to talk about this upcoming game.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about the 2019 edition. We're going to do a little preview of it after we talk about the Mississippi State win on our Monday night, Tuesday morning show. You guys will all hear that. So we got a lot more to talk about Florida this week. This was just a little teaser. Anything else you want to say about Florida historically, the rivalry, how we feel about it before we wrap up tonight?
Did you hate Florida at some points?
Oh,
did you
test
Florida? There was points like, again, where Spurrier was beating our brains in. I hated Florida.
Absolutely. Well, I hated them. I started hating Florida in the early 80s when you know the first instigation was the 82 game where they kicked the field goal to beat us when we were ranked number 19 in Bo's freshman year. And then they beat us those 3 years in a row, and then turned out they were cheating, and they got on probation, they didn't get their conference championship and all that. So then I really hated them in the 80s. And we got those three just satisfying, glorious wins, 87, 88, 89. But then Spurrier comes in and is like, no, I'm gonna, nope, I'm going to reverse all that. And so once Spurrier got there, I mean, I don't think people – I was trying to explain this to my wife the other day, is that I really like Steve Spurrier now, and I have for a while, right? I mean, he's great. We love him. But that didn't used to be the case. We used to hate Spurrier on a Bear Bryant level.
He was this evil sorcerer who took over the conference and just destroyed us.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I thought of Spurrier the way I thought of Bear Bryant.
He's this charming, witty guy now, I think people think. But back then, it wasn't quite as funny when his team beat your team by 30 every time he played.
And he's still running reverses and throwing bombs in the last few seconds when he's up 30 on you.
100%.
Oh, he loved doing that. There were two things Spurrier liked to do besides beat George's brains in every year, which he did, and I approved of that. But there were two things that Spurrier liked to do. He liked to run up the score on you, and he liked to talk crap about you after he did it. And again, you look back at that now, and it's funny. But at the time, we were all, nobody had ever done that before, right? This was back in the 80s, I mean, you know, the early 90s. We were coming out of the 80s, the 80s were like the last hurrah of guys like, you know, Dooley and Bear Bryant had been around the 80s, and Pat Dye and Johnny Majors, you know. This was the era of coaches that are like, oh, shucks, that team's way better than ours, you know. Our boys are going to be lucky to stay on the same field with them. And here comes Spurrier. He didn't give a crap about all that. He just came out and said, we're going to beat them. Yep, we beat the brains in. Look at this. Here's my trophy. Look at it. Here's all my footballs we want. You know, we put the score on it. I mean, he was the first really modern coach that beat your brains in, bragged about beating your brains in, and then recruited off of that. When you see, you know, when you see like Saban rolling the rings out on the table for recruits, that's Spurrier, man. Coaches didn't do that back in the day. Spurrier kind of revolutionized the whole idea of the cocky, in-your-face, calling you out. You know, he famously beat Tennessee every year and then said, yep, you can't spell citrus without UT, you know. And he said stuff like that all the time. Remember, oh, one of my favorite ones was Georgia. I believe it was it Georgia that we're all going to wear black to kind of psych out the Florida players. And after Florida beat their brains out, Spurrier goes, yeah, we appreciate them all wearing black. Made it easier for our receivers to see the ball. I mean, he had a line like that every dang time. And at the time, you're just like, what a jerk, you know? Oh, I hate him. And he backs it up. Oh, it's even worse. But now we look back, it's almost quaint, you know?
It is, but it really sowed the seeds of something. Like, yeah. I want to beat Florida. I want to beat this team. So.
It made it that much sweeter when we did.
Yes.
And nobody beat them more under Spurrier than we did during those years. Alabama was mediocre during those years, you know. They beat Tennessee and Georgia like clockwork every year, Spurrier did. But he lost three to us. And three is a lot for him to lose in the 90s to somebody.
That's the truth.
Yeah. All right. So I think we've made our feelings clear. Any other last thoughts? I'm glad you said that because I got that off my chest. That's good.
No, other than I, you know, wish we'd play it more often.
I wish we'd play them more often, too. All right. So, gang, patrons that are hearing this immediately, join us for the regular show coming up Tuesday morning in the usual locations, and then the rest of you probably be getting this maybe Thursday, and you will already have had our preview show. I hope you guys all enjoy this too. So our time is up for this best special episode. We'll see you again in a couple of days. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle. So what becomes of you, my love?
glad rags that your granddad had to sweat so you could buy.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.